Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Tonight it's the Predators and Stars. 7 o'clock puck drop. I'll have pregame for you starting at 6 and everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. This has been a tough week, and it is going to be probably an emotional night in the building, especially very, very early on. And we are asking you to help us. We're going to have a 102.5 The Game tent out in the plaza area tonight from 5 until 7 o'clock leading up to puck drop of Predators and Stars. And if you're coming to the game tonight, we would love for you to help us. We're looking for work gloves. We're looking for large trash bags. We're looking for batteries, flashlights, hand sanitizer. If you could bring any of those items or all of those items down here tonight, that would be fantastic, and drop them off at our game tent, like I said, in the plaza from 5 until 7 p.m. this evening. Plus, if you need to purchase tickets, you can get them now and receive a free or receive a Predators camo hat if indeed you do that. Elliot Freeman, every Thursday at 1 o'clock from Sportsnet, is on the line with us. Elliot, how you doing?
Not bad. How are you guys doing? That's the more important question.
Well, we are safe and sound. Willie's the only one that was really affected. He lives in East Nashville, and that was unfortunately part of the path Monday night as the team took off right from here straight to the airport to go to after the Edmonton game to go straight to Minnesota for Tuesday night. And Chase and I walking to our car probably 11 o'clock at night, leaving here the arena, had no idea. Our walk downtown, we were about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes away from a destructive force coming through. So everybody's safe and sound, but now we're just trying to do our part to help. A lot of people were devastated by this. They lost everything.
I mean, you know how the league feels about you guys. You guys had to endure a lot of jokes and a lot of bad comments when you came into the league, but everybody, it didn't take long till the word filtered out as to what a great place Nashville was to visit, to go spend time in. You know, I wrote this week that it got to the point that some broadcast teams and some newspapers that people would fight over who got to go to on the Nashville trip because it became so much fun, not only just because of, you know, the music and the bars, but the other things that are great to do and what a great city it is to do things in. And we've all talked about how 2017, that Stanley Cup final, was a watershed moment for the league in the sense that you realize that how you can take your culture and make it a unique part of your team's identity, how it just doesn't have to be about the hockey, although that's important. It can be a show. It can be fun. I've never had as many people reach out to me and say, if I can get down there, will you get me tickets, as I did for the Stanley Cup final games in Nashville that year. So, you know, like the hockey world loves you guys. You're a huge part of the National Hockey League. And same, like, we just can't wish for the best enough for everybody down there. And, you know, whatever we're going to do to help.
Thank you for saying that, Elliot. And it's been really cool. It's why we love the sport. It's why we like or love covering and talking about hockey as much as we do on this show and getting to know these players and the league, to see the Blackhawks step up on Tuesday night, to see the Minnesota Wild and Craig Leopold and the NHL step up on Tuesday night. Now we've learned the St. Louis Blues have stepped up. These are rivals, and yet they're willing to help. And it just says a lot about the hockey community.
Well, I mean, I'm glad to hear that people are stepping up, because if we're not there for each other, nobody's going to be there for us.
No doubt about it. Tell us your takeaways from Boca Raton and the general manager meetings.
Well, I think there's obviously the salary cap is a thing that everybody's kind of fans always want to know about that. Teams always want to know about that. They're optimistic about the projections. They were optimistic last year. It fell short, and so there's a little bit here this year of, you know, people kind of, okay, is there reason to believe in the numbers? And, you know, I think they've been working at this. You know, it's since last summer. They've been talking about doing a two-year projection as opposed to just next year, then the year after, then the year after. I think getting through the first year of Seattle and the first year of the new U.S. TV deal, just set it in advance of that and then see what the true effect of those two things are. So I think there's optimism. I mean, the one wild card in all this, guys, right now is, you know, the coronavirus. Nobody knows what this is going to mean. We're seeing leagues overseas either canceling their playoffs or playing in front of no fans. I mean, who knows what we're going to go through. It's a guess at this point in time. But other than that, I think people are optimistic about where the numbers are going to be.
The offsides thing that we discussed, by the way, you brought up the Stanley Cup final. We'd like to go back and implement that rule now in game one. Could we do that?
You know what's funny, Darren, I don't know if you were with me, but I saw Elliot after that game. I was doing my thing with Terry Crist. You did post game. I was doing my TV stuff for Fox with Terry Crist.
I'll tell you why I didn't see you, because I saw Peter Laviolette go racing by the broadcast booth to head down to the NHL and the officials booth.
That's right. But at some point,
if you remember, his press conference was delayed after that game.
I think it was on the elevator or at some point with Elliot, and I think Elliot, your words were something like, "You guys got screwed on that." Or something. but the point being that was a very difficult one to see. That was the Predators' point all along, that you couldn't really tell one way or the other whether the skate was up in the air or not. But that is what this does. It eliminates that. So do you think this will eliminate, or not eliminate, that's the wrong word, minimize potential controversy more so than before?
Yes. Yes, I do. I think it's a smart move. It probably should have happened 3 years ago when it was first brought up. But it's going to happen now. I do think it will minimize the controversy. Look, I think it'll, fans, when they're at games, nobody wants to wait for a video review. Everybody wants the game to be, we understand there's going to be stoppages, we understand there's going to be delays, but generally they want the game to move along. And this will help the game move along. So I think it makes things a lot easier. You know, they said this year there would have been 18 foot-in-the-air reviews and 14 of them would have been goals. Anytime I think you're looking at that kind of a percentage, I think you're not being forward thinking as a league if you don't make that kind of a change.
Elliot, there was some controversy here Saturday night when the Avalanche were in town and had a controversial ending just over 3 minutes to go. It looked like an apparent Dante Fabbro goal to tie it up. Colin Blackwell was hit with goaltender interference. They waved it off immediately, then made the call. I want to ask you, because we see this stuff all the time, and we've now seen it. And look, I don't blame the officials. I don't blame the refs. It's a bang-bang play. It's impossible to make the right call, in my opinion, with the naked eye. You need technology. We have technology. We saw technology that night and looked at it, and we all came away going, give me a break. He was pushed into the goalie. You could even make the case the puck was in the back of the net before the contact was even made. There were several layers to it that the naked eye can't see in a bang-bang play like that. And I guess what I'm asking you is, why doesn't the league tell these officials, help yourself by not make – just let the goal stand and then let it play out with the benches and then technology.
I can tell you this. Because I know a general manager told me at the meeting that a few of them talked about that one. And I wouldn't be surprised at all in the future, guys, I wouldn't be surprised if something went out to the official to say, guys, because what screwed it up there was they called the penalty, right?
Yes.
Right.
So once they call the penalty, you can't review a penalty call, not a minor. You can't do that. And look, we all saw the play. Like, Zadorov ended up driving Blackwell into the goalie. It should have been a goal. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was some kind of reminder, whether an email or a soft reminder or something like that, where the officials were told, hey, if it's goaltender interference around the net, make your call, goal or no goal, and then we can deal with it after. Unless you're 100% certain that the guy runs over the goalie. That's what you can do. I guess in this particular case, he thought he had the right call. I agree with you. But I do know, because a GM told me, because that came up, the league was unavailable to make the change because the call was made. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see we go to, all right, goal or no goal, then we leave it up to the review.
So, Elliot, with that in mind, another thing that I – and I've been to some of the same NHL broadcast conferences that you have where this comes up a lot.
Yeah.
One thing that gets communicated a lot to us from the fans is they wish the referees would take a little bit more time to communicate, like an NFL ref would, to say, here's what we had on that play. You know, this is why it can't be – you know, something a little bit more definitive – just for the fans' benefit, right? Let alone the announcers, the broadcasters, all that.
There's some guys who do it. There's some guys who don't. I didn't ask, so I don't know why it happened that night. But I completely agree with you on that issue. And explanation, like, they're getting better now at sending reviews out, like emails out. This is what the reason was. I know, like, because I've had it. There have been times I wait for a controversial call to end, and I'll call the video room and say, hey, we're about to go on air. Can you explain it? And they're really good at that, but it doesn't help the fan in the building. You're right. It should be mandatory. It should happen all the time. I don't have a good answer for you as to why it doesn't happen.
You're following the Canadian teams a lot. And of course, Nashville is in a fight with a lot of these teams in the Pacific Division in particular, plus Winnipeg, of course. What's going on with Vancouver? I know the injury to Markstrom. Like, you don't think, oh, the guy that's carrying Vancouver is their goalie, Jacob Markstrom. But really, you look at what he's done a very, very good job quietly, at least in these parts, but he hasn't been there, and all of a sudden, they're in a bit of a slump.
Well, I agree that that's the underlying numbers there, guys, have said that Markstrom's had not only a Vezina season, but an MVP-level season.
Wow.
Yeah, if you listen to some of the analytics about that team, and, you know, sometimes you have to be careful on which ones you use, but they all generally seem to be pointing in that direction, that they give up a lot of chances, a lot of quality chances, and Markstrom has been dynamite. And if you take a look at it, if I get the exact number wrong, I apologize, but I don't think they've had a game that they've given up less than three goals in since the Sedin retirement night, which was a couple of weeks ago. So Markstrom, since he's been out, that's been a huge, huge factor for them. Like they were at a point, and I before they played Toronto last Saturday, they gave up two goals in every game 7.5 minutes in, three games in a row. And of course they had that big collapse against Columbus, and last night too they're up 3-2 and it looks great, and they fall apart. So, or they're up 2-1, it looks great, and they fall apart. So, I really think, and I thought last night, guys, they really battled. They played hard. Quinn Hughes is hurt. Clearly, you could tell he wasn't right. He played. Demko was hurting too. He didn't look right in goal, but he played. Like they really gutted it out last night, but they lost. And I just think that everybody's got injuries, but their goalie was not only the MVP of your team, but he was having an MVP-style year, and he was covering up for a lot of mistakes.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, the author of the 31 Thoughts, and you can see him, of course, on the television as well, joins us every Thursday at 1 o'clock. So I noticed in your 31 Thoughts that the NHL and the NHLPA might look at the five-day breaks around the All-Star. I call it spring break, but each team, you know, gets some time off each year. That's something that they added a few years ago. But the theory is it's contributing to injuries. What are your thoughts?
Well, I've been asking a little bit about it because, you know, you're kind of sitting there and you're saying there's a lot of big injuries right now. And you're kind of trying to figure out why. You know, sometimes it's just fluke and it is a contact sport, so it happens. But, you know, you go, you play pretty hard, and then you get a big break, right? And then the five-day break plus the All-Star break, one side or the other, and then you really got to ramp it up again. And, you know, people are wondering, is that really healthy? Is that putting the athlete in the best place to succeed and be healthy? And, you know, these teams, they're really into sports science now. They kind of have this data. And I think they're saying the answer is no. Now, the players have to agree with it. This was collectively bargained by both sides, so you can't just say it's up and done. You have to agree. But I do wonder if people are going to say there's got to be a better way. One of the reasons they created that five-day break was so that the players who go to the All-Star game get time off.
Right.
I wonder if there's just got to be a different way of doing it.
Another thing, too, that was up in the GM meetings was the E-Bug, the emergency goaltender, yep. Emergency backup goaltender. Were you surprised they didn't make any changes?
I was. I thought they were going to make changes, but then somebody made a really good point, and it was the fact that, you know, that guy David Ayers, he practices with the Leafs quite a bit, and the day after he beat them, he was taking shots from a few of them on the ice. And, you know, he said, like, if that's the guy who's facing NHL players on a semi-regular basis, who better to be out there in a game? And, you know, I don't like it when people beat my arguments with logic. Like, it's not really a lot of fun.
Me neither.
But I had to say, you know, that's a good one. Like, I got to concede that one. So I don't think everybody agreed, but I think that they felt strongly that that was good logic. And Chris King, who's a senior vice president, he made a good point. He said, look, sometimes teams will go on a 3-on-4 trip. They'll want to give their goalie a day off, and they'll say, okay, who's your E-Bug? Bring him into town or bring him to practice, and we'll use him. I can't argue with that. I think it's very fair.
Was that your E-Bup in the background? Your emergency backup phone?
You know, because I'm doing this interview, my wife is driving, and I think her mom called while she was on the phone.
It's a very important call. We got to make sure.
Right now, it's pretty funny. I'm going to tell her that Nashville radio was more important than my mother-in-law. You
guys. Oh boy.
We do not aim to get anyone in trouble on this show, Elliot. Good stuff as always. Thanks for doing it. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Take care.
Elliot Friedman from SportsCenter. He's brought to you every week by Carrie Zier Remax Elite, and we do appreciate that sponsorship, and we appreciate Elliot being on board every Thursday. We'll come back more of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.